Welcome to Divorce Explained, the podcast where we answer your questions and navigate the process of divorce together. Sharing real stories and personal experiences, this is your guide through it all. With your hosts, family law specialist Steve Benmore and divorce lawyer and strategist Leanne Townsend.
Today's subject is this thing called mediation arbitration. And it doesn't sound very much like family law or divorce, but it actually is one of the most magical solutions, in my humble opinion, to helping people who are going through family breakup, separation, and divorce. And by way of background, mediation or mediation and arbitration or arbitration alone have been around for many, many decades. And it's only really been in the last, say, short generation that people have actually started using it in family matters. And as it turns out, at the earlier stages, we experimented with mediation, and then we experimented with arbitration. And now, mediation, arbitration for people that are going through separation and divorce is an extremely popular tool to help them resolve things quickly, inexpensively, amicably, and most importantly, fairly by an expert. And so that is our subject today. And I'm looking forward to discussing it with Leanne and hearing what her views have been in the use of mediation arbitration. And let's even go backwards a little bit. Tell us a little bit about your earlier experiences with mediation arbitration and how your experiences maybe evolved over the course of your career with the use of this tool.
Yes, I agree with you, first off, that I think mediation and arbitration is a great way for people to go in coming to a resolution of their family law matter. And I haven't been practicing in the family law space quite as long as you have, Steve. So my experience may not be as dramatic in terms of how it's evolved, but certainly, from what I've seen, it's become more common. It's used more readily in a variety of situations. And I know when I first started practicing in family law, I had thought, mistakenly really, that for really high conflict clients, that mediation was not something that could be an effective solution for them, because it's too much conflict, they're too far apart. But in recent times, I've had a number of very high conflict files where mediation, and we didn't even have to go to arbitration, we just did mediation, and we were able to get a resolution. And so I now don't hold that view. I think that mediation can be effective even for those very high conflict files. It's not just reserved for those situations where people aren't that far apart. The other thing that I've seen go on is it's mediation can be done in a variety of ways. I sometimes have people who are going to mediation already with their former spouse, and they're sitting down with the mediator and they're consulting me throughout, and then bringing me the final agreement to give independent legal advice on, or to draft into a separation agreement. And then I have other clients where I'm very involved in the mediation and I attend with them, and I proactively work with the other lawyer and the mediator to try and come to a resolution of the issues. And even though that way of doing things is still a little more expensive for clients, because they have their lawyer there that they're paying, but also the mediator, but in the grander scheme of things, it's still a money saver, because if they had to pay me to go to court or to go back and forth in with letters and negotiations just with an opposing counsel without a mediator, it would likely end up costing somebody a lot more than just putting a lot of resources into that one day for a mediation to get a resolution. So I think it's becoming more common. It's certainly something I'm proposing more often to clients. And I know you act as a mediator and an arbitrator, Steve, so you've got that area right in your practice, and it's a great tool as far as I'm concerned.
Right. Well, really good comments. Thank you, Leanne. I wanted to share with our viewers some of just the basics, the ABCs of what is mediation arbitration. So, when people in Ontario have a dispute, it doesn't have to be necessarily a divorce or a separation. It could be any dispute. If they cannot agree The place they go to is court, because once somebody takes a case to court, the other side doesn't have the option of ignoring it. And in fact, there are deadlines for the delivery of materials, a defense, financial disclosure, and whatnot. So the default for people that have a dispute and they don't have an agreement is to go to court. Well, that has also been the case in family law matters where people have a dispute. They split up, they can't agree on who gets the house or what the parenting schedule will be for the children or what the amount of child support will be. And so they have the right to go to court. Now, a lot of people think that that is the place to go. And historically, they were right. That was the place to go if you had a dispute that you couldn't resolve on your own. And so what would happen when people would go to court is they would have to start a court case. Well, the words start a court case mean fill out a whole bunch of forms, and it asks questions about your relationship, and it asks questions about the breakdown of the relationship. And before you know it, those documents that are prepared end up leaning in favor of criticizing the other spouse. And some have gone very far in that direction, where they think the more I criticize my other spouse, the more I'm going to prevail in this dispute. So they fill out these forms with a tremendous amount of criticism of the other person. And not only that, they elevate themselves, because it's only human nature for the person coming in front of a judge wanting to get something to make it appear as though they are the victim or they're the innocent bystander, and they have been the subject or the victim of some sort of bad behavior by the other person. Well, no shocker, when the other person gets these documents, they're very upset. And they then do the very same thing that the first spouse did. And before you know it, the very first step in a court case is an exchange of allegations between the two spouses. Now, remember, there are lawyers involved. So it's not just sort of low-level language. This is very fancy, sophisticated language that is meant to paint the other side in a terrible, negatively light. So along comes mediation arbitration. When people hire me as the mediator arbitrator, I'm not at all interested in getting those documents. In fact, we skip over that step altogether. And that step, by the way, typically costs clients anywhere from $5,000 to $10,000 in legal fees that they pay their lawyers to to collect all the information, to ask questions, to verify it, and then to draft the first draft and then have it reviewed and edited. And before you know it, you know, 3 to 12 weeks later, you've got your court documents that have done a really great job of destroying the character of the other spouse. And then the other spouse does the same thing. So here we are 3 to 9 months later, and you've got all of these wonderful documents, I'm saying that facetiously, by the way, that are destroying the character of the other person. And it's cost the people a lot of money. But the worst part of all of this is not a situation where they're never going to see each other again. Most of these people will actually have to deal with each other for the rest of their lives because they've got children in common. And the very first thing that occurred after they split up was an attempt to publicly destroy the other person's personality. And it just doesn't bode well. And quite frankly, my mediation arbitration agreement, in fact, many mediators in Ontario will specifically say that if you actually are already in court and you hire me, you must put your court case on ice. We will not work at the same time while you're destroying each other in the courtroom. So if you want to hire me, you got to put that approach on ice, on the back burner, while I try to help you rebuild the future of your family life in a very different arrangement than it was before when you were living together and as a couple. And so mediation and arbitration are entirely voluntary. Like somebody has to say, I agree. And then the other person has to say, I agree. And then they have to both sign a mediation agreement or a mediation arbitration agreement that says, I agree that this person will be the mediated arbitrator. And this is the most important part. They have to agree to not be able to return to court, which is a big deal. And that's why mediation arbitration agreements require independent legal advice signed by a lawyer for each spouse, saying they've explained to them that by agreeing to this process, you're not allowed to go to court. In fact, the only way you can go to court is if you carve out certain things, like, for example, the court will grant you a divorce, or the court will grant you some sort of government order that you could not otherwise get by an arbitrator, because the only a judge has the power to grant that, or enforcement, or appeal. But with the narrow exceptions of those items, mediation arbitration agreements effectively are the equivalent of hiring a private dispute resolution officer called a mediator, and that same person, or potentially another one if you do with two people, will then become your private judge should any of the issues that you are trying to voluntarily resolve in mediation cannot be resolved. And so then that person, in my case me, then convenes a different date, and on that date I will hear the evidence by each side, I will ask all the necessary questions, and then I will think about it and write up a arbitration award, which is the equivalent of a judgment by a judge, because these two people that hired me as a mediator arbitrator hired me in order to resolve their affairs. And in most of the cases, by the way, we resolve it, just like Leanne said, in mediation. And one of the reasons why, back to the original question, why is mediation arbitration so popular? Why is it actually even becoming more popular than mediation? Because this, if you go to mediation and you don't like how things are going, you can just walk away. If you go to mediation arbitration and you don't like how things are going, you cannot walk away. You're bound. And as a result of that, that structure, that you can't just walk away. Because of that, people come to the table reasonably minded, willing to bargain, willing to make concessions, because they know if they don't make concessions and reach a resolution in the mediation stage, there's going to be this other date with the arbitrator, me, who will then hear the evidence and make a decision. And it may not be the one that you want. And so there is no freedom to simply say, you know what, I don't like how things are going, I'm walking away. And that's why so many of the cases in Med-Arb, which is, by the way, the abbreviation for mediation arbitration, that's why so many family law cases in Med-Arb don't make it to the arbitration because of that so-called dagger that's hanging over their head, that if they don't settle in mediation, it's going to go to a hearing and someone's going to be a winner and someone's going to be a loser, and oftentimes both are unhappy. And so mediation arbitration is not only great in terms of maintaining peaceful relations with a spouse during and subsequent to separation and divorce. Let me add one more thing. When you hire a mediator arbitrator, you're choosing the mediator arbitrator. They're not choosing you. But when you go to court, you do not get to choose your judge. And in some cases, you might be very unhappy. Not because the judge is a bad person, but because the judge might know nothing about family law. They might have practiced criminal law for 30 years and then they became appointed as a judge. And now you're going in front of them and you're arguing things that this judge has no history with, no knowledge of, no appreciation of the psychology of family dynamics, because they may have only practiced tax law for 30 years or intellectual property law for 30 years, or they might have been a dean of a law school. And so when you hire a mediator arbitrator, you're actually hiring a senior expert in your field. If you happen to have a dispute that's involving, for example, real estate, you'll hire an expert in real estate for mediation arbitration. But for separation and divorce, you're oftentimes hiring somebody that is of my caliber, who has been doing this for 30 years, who has got accreditation, who has a real understanding of not only the science behind family law, but also the psychology behind family law and the importance of relationships going forward. So I've given a bit of the ABCs of family law, and the reality is recently, as in 2 or 3 years ago, the Federal Divorce Act was amended to specifically direct people to use family dispute resolution services, which, if you think about it, the law that is supposed to be enforced by judges says, try not to go to judges, go to mediators and arbitrators. So go figure. So that's my spiel on mediation and arbitration.
Well, you know, like you, Steve, I think mediation and arbitration is a great tool. And the cases that I have had where my clients had entered into a Med-Arb agreement, my experience has been similar to what you just said. Rarely have we had to go to the arbitration stage. Generally, we have been able to resolve things in the mediation stage. And sometimes that's also because in attempting to bring the parties to a resolution, the clients and the parties can tell a little bit how the mediator might be leaning on deciding an issue should it go to arbitration. And so they realize, hey, this may not go the way I would like it to go, so I'd better off to try and negotiate something here in the mediation. And so that can be really helpful. And, you know, a lot of people don't realize how long and protracted going to court is. You know, mediation and arbitration is a much, much faster way to resolve things and get come bring things to a conclusion. Court can take years. And I think a lot of people think, oh, you know, we'll file our material and we'll get a court date and it'll be resolved in a few months. And you know, that's not the case. It's very long and protracted, and it's very, very stressful and emotionally draining for most people. I've had very few clients who didn't find litigation in family law to be extremely stressful and to take a real toll on them. Whereas mediation and arbitration, you know, because it's faster and because the approach is a more amicable one. I mean, you can have your differing opinions. You go in with different positions, but the goal isn't to tear each other apart. It's to come to an agreement. And when you have to walk away and you've got children to co-parent and, you know, interactions with the other party, it's a much better way to go rather than trying to tear them down like you do in litigation. And so, you know, I'm recommending it more and more for my clients. I think it's far more preferable to go that route. The only time where I find sometimes now I'm having to file a court application is just when I have an unresponsive party who's ignoring us and we need to get, you know, them to complete a financial statement and we need to move the matter forward. So we might file an application, but then still have a goal of taking it out of the court system and going to mediation. And I think particularly when there's issues surrounding children, I mean, who wants to have a judge deciding what's going to happen with respect to children? I mean, those are things that parents should be deciding. And so parents should really be working with the other parent and, you know, setting aside their personal differences and trying to work with them and co-parent, because you are going to be co-parents for, you know, for a lifetime. And so if you can't learn during the separation process how to co-parent, I don't think there's going to be much chance of you learning it later on. And again, why would you want a judge who doesn't know you, doesn't know your children, deciding important things that are going to affect your children? So,
And on the subject of judges versus mediator arbitrators, think of a mediator arbitrator as a case manager. Oftentimes when I do mediation arbitrations, I identify the problems. I diagnose the problem in a way that a judge could never diagnose the problem, because I'm spending a lot of time with each spouse and I'm hearing them. I'm listening to them. I'm pondering the problem in the family. And then I'm actually thinking, where do I want this family to be in a year or 5 years from now? And I think about the children and their ages, and I think about where would we like, what trajectory would we like to place this family on? And so when I am a mediator arbitrator, I'm not looking to kick this case out of my face quickly. I'm actually looking to ensure long-term emotional, physical, and financial health for the family. And in some cases, I actually, because I have the power to, I actually make awards involving other people. Sometimes it might be something simple like an appraisal or a psych ed assessment for the children, or it might be something more intrusive like therapy, or it might be sending the parents on a parenting course, different ones at different times. And sometimes people will say to me, well, you know, well, what about this and what about that? In other words, reasons to not do mediation arbitration. And you, Leanne, mentioned one of them, which is cost. And quite frankly, after 30 years of doing this, I haven't had a case that's gone to mediation arbitration that has actually been more expensive than court. In fact, the opposite is the case. I have too many cases that have gone to court And people are like, after $50,000 and two court hearings, I've got nowhere in this case. Well, that same amount of money actually would have settled three cases in mediation arbitration. And so mediation arbitration, once looking at it from the beginning to the middle to the end, is in my estimation, always less expensive, always less aggravating. And at the end of the day, it's a safer route for a family going forward. But some people will still say, well, you know, I'm not going to agree. I'm going to want to go to court. And to your point, Leanne, as a lawyer myself, sometimes I know that the other side will just not agree to go to mediation or mediation arbitration. So what we do is we issue the application. We don't necessarily have to say all the horrible things in the application, but we just issue the application because right on the front page, it says, if you don't respond to this in 30 days, a judgment will be made in your absence. So when I serve that application on the other side, I say, look, you've got 30 days. You could either sign a mediation arbitration agreement with one of these 10 mediator arbitrators, or we could spend the next 2 or 3 years in the court proceeding, your choice. And to your point, Leanne, sometimes just the sheer fact that the person got served is the very thing that causes them to now face the music and do the right thing. And doing the right thing doesn't mean giving your spouse what they want. Doing the right thing means, you know, I don't want to have this cost. I don't want to have this case drag on. I don't want to have to put my kids through this for an unnecessary lengthy period of time. So I'm going to sign up with mediation arbitration and get this resolved. And the last objection that I always hear is, well, there's abuse. There's domestic violence. There's intimate partner violence in this case. I can tell you, I spent years representing victims of violence. I used to go into women's shelters and represent people. The very worst thing for a victim of violence, whether it's a man, a woman, or a child, is to drag them into a courthouse, to go through the metal detectors, to see their spouse in the hallway, who is potentially smiling at them or sneering at them. And then to sit in court with the security guards there and hear the lawyers say negative things about the other spouse. That's a horrible place to be if you're a victim of violence. Mediation arbitration allows the mediator arbitrator to build Chinese walls and to ensure that no such information, no such anxiety, no such threats exist. And I'm a strong believer in the fact that if, you know, the more scary the case, the more the case requires an expert who can own it, control it, moderate it, and solve it.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. And in mediation, the parties don't have to even be in the same room. There's shuttle mediation, so they don't have to be looking at, you know, in the case of abuse, their abuser, and they don't even have to be in the same room with them. So a victim of domestic violence can feel much safer. And just on the issue of mediators, I think it is really important that people put a lot of thought and research into who they choose as a mediator. And, you know, certainly as a lawyer, I'm careful who I recommend to clients. You know, you ideally want someone of Steve's stature and knowledge, because the mediator can be creative, and you can only be creative if you have years of experience, you know, in family law to come up with solutions. And it's really important that the mediator have a certain stature, I think, with both counsel, because I've had cases where the position of the opposing party through and their counsel was completely unreasonable and really not in line with, you know, basic family law principles in the law. And we were exchanging letters back and forth, and it was getting nowhere. But we did a mediation with a very experienced senior member of the bar, and the other side's position was just shut down so quickly. We didn't waste any time in mediation. They didn't even, the lawyer didn't even really advocate it. It was like he was just doing it as a posturing thing in the letters that he knew, I think, didn't have any merit. And when he got in front of this senior lawyer who was a mediator, he didn't make those arguments. And so, whereas I think if it had been somebody less experienced, you know, and not as solid on their understanding of family law, you know, maybe he would have tried to do that and tried to push it through. So it's really important that you go with someone who really knows their stuff and it has the respect of all parties involved.
Well said. Well, there you have it, viewers. Mediation arbitration in family law matters in Ontario is there. It's growing. It's in demand. And quite frankly, it's the ethical and the right thing to do for families who are going through separation and divorce and have been unable to resolve things amicably. So we hope we've been able to help you with this information today, and we will see you all next week.
Thanks, everyone. Bye for now.
Thanks for tuning in to today's episode of Divorce Explained. If you enjoyed it, don't forget to head on over to Instagram and follow at Steve Benmore and at Leanne Townsend Life for more. And if you're looking for specific divorce services, you can visit benmore.com and leannetownsend.ca. We hope today's episode made you feel informed and inspired as you move along through your divorce journey. Tune in next week for Divorce Explained.